Google's job is bringing people to useful websites which satisfy the needs of the searcher. Google wants to connect people with useful websites, trustworthy websites, especially when the stakes are high, as they are when it goes to a therapist website. If you have a leak in your kitchen, you're going to ask a friend for a plumber because your friend shares probably the same values of you, and also they wouldn't go ahead and recommend someone who is rubbish. Google is no different. And so you need to give Google every reason to recommend you and no reason not to.
Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. So today we're talking about one of those jobs that many therapists know they ought to do, but somehow it keeps getting pushed to the bottom of the list. GDPR, privacy policies, and cookie policies. If I'm honest, it's one of those topics that can make my eyes glaze over, and I suspect that I'm not the only one. So today I've got someone with me who's just made the whole process a whole lot easier for us. My guest today is Darren McLaughlin from WebHealer. Many therapists will already know WebHealer as one of the UK's best known website providers for counsellors and psychotherapists. They help therapists build professional websites without needing lots of technical knowledge. And I've invited Dara onto the podcast today because they've recently developed something called Policy Diary, which is a tool that helps therapists keep their website policies up to date as the regulations change. So Dara, welcome to Good Enough Counsellors.
Hello, Josephine, and thank you for having me on. Delighted to be here.
Yes, brilliant. Now, I've just, in our test recording, embarrassed you slightly. Because I was saying to you, I discovered that you rode solo across the Atlantic.
Yes, as if I didn't have enough to be doing.
Yeah.
In between websites and data protection.
Yeah. Yeah,
last year I rode solo 3,000 miles across the Atlantic Ocean on my own. It took me 39 days, 20 hours and 16 minutes. And it was an amazing experience. We raised a load of money for charity. And, you know, there's not many times we get to be on our own in our lives. And being
for
in the Atlantic
days.
Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was truly, that's alone as you're going to get.
You know?
So it was an amazing experience. Amazing.
Yeah. Was it very scary?
Yeah, there was times, definitely. I mean, no matter how much training you do, Mother Nature wins every time. And
yeah.
So I was there as a guest of Mother Nature. And there was times where she made it easy on me, and there was times where it was quite difficult, I will say that, and I was questioning my choices.
Yeah.
But look, I got through it. It was great. I had an amazing experience. The ocean, as I say, opened many doors I think it would open for me, and it also gave me a lot. I mean, on the toughest days, it sent me amazing vistas of sunrises, sunsets, moonrises, moonsets. And even sent me pods of hundreds of dolphins on the toughest of days to swim alongside the boat and check in with me and make sure I was good. So it was a life-changing experience. One I'm happy to have behind me, if I'm being honest. And back to the keyboard again once more, you know.
Yeah. So did it sort of change your outlook, do you think? I mean, you know, you said it's a life-changing experience. I mean, did you sort of come back and find that everyday life just, I don't know, how did it impact you?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the first couple of weeks after I returned, it was very different because I suppose life on land seemed to have just stayed still and my life had seemed to have changed quite substantially. But I think probably my biggest takeaway is I'm a lot more patient about certain things because when you're on the ocean and you're rowing, wind obviously plays a massive factor in it. So if it's going with you, fantastic. If it's going against you, not so fantastic.
You don't get very far.
No, you don't. In fact, you start to kind of go back to where you started from.
Oh.
So you must learn to really, I suppose, accept what's right in front of you and deal with what's in the moment. Mm-hmm. And also live in the now and not, I suppose, live in the future too much. Be more present because you can't change things you can't control. Wind was one of them, obviously. So I think patience was a big thing. Somebody actually, and I have, funny enough, somebody who came to meet me as I was on my final approach to the island in the Caribbean. They came out in a boat. It was like a media boat to take photos of me arriving. And she had a cup of tea, Yogi tea. And on each tea bag, there's a little saying or a little phrase, you know. Yeah. And I did my interview with the people who organized. It was a race afterwards, and I talked about the challenges that I encountered. But she gave me this Yogi tea bag thing that I have in my hand here, and it said, "Accept the challenge you are facing. It may become your greatest gift."
Oh, wow.
And it really resonated with me, because there was times when I was on the ocean when I expected the wind to change and weather to improve, and it didn't. Mm. But in reality, these were the lessons that I was being taught, which were going to serve me once I got back to dry land. So really amazing. Really amazing stuff.
What an amazing story. Yeah. Oh, just incredible. So do you think that sort of like changed your attitude towards business at all? You know, you're running a business or...
Well, I suppose when it comes to the business of Webhealer, which, you know, I've been involved in quite some time, and Webhealer has been around for over 20 years now, we're in a really privileged place where we get to help others help others.
Yeah.
And there's not many times you can say that in business, because business can be a little bit corporate, a little bit capitalistic, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, at the same time, to be able to say that we're actually helping people make a difference, I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like we have some broad, anonymized, naturally, stats on the volume of email that goes from our client websites to our client, mm-hmm. own therapist customers. So new inquiries that are coming through your websites, we can see the volume of those. And honestly, it's overwhelming when I see how many people are contacting our customers looking for assistance and knowing that we're playing a part in that. I think it's fantastic.
That's amazing.
So, you know, business doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. Everybody can win. Yeah. In the same way that when I was taking part in that Atlantic Row, I was racing against other people, and I had a very close competitor in the solo class with me. And yes, I won, and I came first ahead of him, but I don't think he lost. And I didn't lose anything by it. I think we were both absolutely enriched by the experience. Mm. And so, yeah, I think business doesn't have to be a zero-sum game. Everybody can win. Mm. And I think if you hold that close to what you do and how you do it, I think you'll always be successful.
Yeah. Amazing. Mm. Yeah. And I think, because it's sort of like you're on your own journeys, aren't you? The two rowers were on their own separate journeys experiencing. Yeah. What they were experiencing, and there's as much to gain from that as there is from winning or losing, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And I think it goes for the same for even, you know, your Facebook groups. You've got a lot of people who are on, you know, their own journeys, but they're in the same boat, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they can exchange their life experiences with each other and enrich each other. Mm. They don't have to kind of hold it all together for themselves. Mm. That's why communities like yours are really important, because it really provides that kind of fertile ground of learning, knowledge and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if everybody did something like that, wouldn't the world be just a better place?
Yeah, I sort of really resonate with what you're saying about how your business is about helping people get the help, because that I just think that's so important, and it's so brilliant to have people like yourself involved to be able to help us do the things that we're good at and leave the sort of techie stuff that we're not so good at to the people who bring those skills, which is fantastic. So, yeah. So I'd love to talk more about this, because it's far more interesting, actually, than GDPR.
Yes.
But I mean, part of the reason why I got in touch was because there's been changes with GDPR. What do you think most therapist attitudes are to that sort of thing?
Hide under the duvet. Yeah. I think if I had to pick a three-word answer to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at, we say it all along, and it applies to the web healer business of building websites and helping people be found online as much as it does to the data protection side of things.
Mm.
Your audience, counselors, psychotherapists in the UK, are in the business of helping people. They're not in the business of building websites and fighting it out with the minutiae of the data protection acts. Mm. In the same way, you know, so we have a phrase in Ireland, which is, you know, stick to your knitting. And I'm very much sticking to my knitting, and I would never dream of dipping my toe in the world of counseling and psychotherapy, because it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, people, I suppose, try and look under the covers of what's the, you know, what's required when it comes to building a website or being compliant. And it becomes a real area of friction and frustration for them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's unfortunate. So you're in the business of helping people. You're not in the business of wading through data protection laws. And I think it's really important to be able to plug in with a third party like ourselves and others, should they exist, to really kind of help you square that circle, tick that box, whatever way you want to put it, or just tick the box. Because, you know, there's a lot of confidence when you renew your ethical body membership every year. You say, okay, job done. Great. Or if you pay for your professional indemnity insurance, you say, done. Great. Taken care of. And you want to, when it comes to things like the new data protection, be able to say, I have that done. I've sorted that. And to have confidence in it so that you can truly stick to running your own practice.
Yeah.
Because all of these other things are distractions. And since the new laws came into effect, we've seen a lot of people come and being very honest with us, have said that they've been tussling with this for weeks on end. They're not really sure where to start. It just seems like such a unnecessary use of their time, which honestly is best served seeing clients, supervision, CBD, etc. You know, so so that's why we came up with Policy Diary. And I suppose you've introduced me as Web Healer, which is very much our day-to-day. But we wanted to maybe segue a little bit off the Web Healer brand simply because we wanted to let all of the therapists around the UK, because although we're very fortunate to have thousands of therapists as clients, we don't have them all, and so much as we'd like to. but so we wanted to really just kind of let people know, hey, listen, we have a solution here, and it doesn't matter who your service provider is, you can come to us and we can help you out. And that's kind of where we were going with that. So
let's just have just a little description. So people need to have on their website, they need to have their GDPR data protection sort of policy or notice, don't they? They need a notice on the website. But what do they, what do they need to have? This is, let's just quickly run through it. Yeah.
All right. So basically, in the UK, we've got this thing called GDPR, or as it's known now, post-Brexit, UK GDPR, or some people say DPA 2018. Okay. Yeah. That's as techie as I want to get today. Yeah. But in the last year, we have this new thing called the DUAA, which is the Data Use and Access Act. And there was parts of that that came into effect, and the most recent piece of it came into effect at the end of June of this year.
Yeah.
And basically all these laws are in place to, I suppose, protect people and their personal information.
Mm-hmm.
And as a ICO registered data controller, now, can I just start and say that if you are in the business of providing therapy and you're handling records of your clients, one of the most frequent questions we get asked is, do I need to register with the ICO? So this all starts from that, because if you were selling chocolate bars on the side of the road, you don't need to register with the ICO.
Yeah.
But if you're in the business of counseling and psychotherapy, you must be registered with the ICO. Mm-hmm. And then all of these laws start to apply to you, because you're what's known as a data controller. You control other people's data. So definitely the most frequently asked question that we get is, do I need to be ICO registered? The answer is yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. So from there, you need to outline to people how you collect, store, and process their personal information and why you collect it. So obviously you collect their name so that you can, you know, speak to them and call up their notes. You collect their medical history if it's relevant. You collect their date of birth if it's relevant. Any medication they might be on, again, if it's relevant to their therapeutic journey and whatnot. And you most overtly state that and say, this is why we're collecting it. Now, when it comes to a website, you have cookies on a website. And with website cookies, there has been some laws recently that have been changed as part of this DUAA. And you must state to people that you collect cookies and what cookies they are and for what purpose.
Yeah.
But most importantly, you must give them the option to opt out or to refuse them.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that look like? Well, for example, if you go onto any website, let's just say you're on Amazon, you're doing a bit of shopping. Amazon places a cookie on your computer that allows you to save things into your basket. Now, without that cookie, Amazon doesn't work. I think that's fair to say. So that's what's known as an essential cookie. It's needed for the function of the website. Non-essential cookies might be something like some tracking code from Facebook or some Google Analytics code, which you then use to make marketing decisions and so forth. So that's non-essential. So you must state in your cookie policy which are essential, not essential, and you must give them an opt-out.
Mm-hmm.
And so even something as simple as embedding a YouTube video on your website, that connects to Google and Google gets your information because YouTube is owned by Google. You must actually block that YouTube video before showing it so that somebody has the opportunity to consent to that. So it's all about consent, opting in, opting out.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have that on your website. If you know, if you have a website, most therapists do, and if you don't, you should. But you must then speak to a web hitter. But you need to have a cookie banner on your website that indicates that you do use cookies and for what purposes, give more information as well as the opt-out. And you know, there's two sides to this. There's the regulatory side, where you're adhering to the laws. But there's also the softer side of it, which is if I'm somebody who's looking to work with a therapist, and obviously I'm going to be sharing a lot of personal information with you, I also want to have confidence that you're going to treat my personal data with respect, and that you're going to, in the same way that you would with, you know, other rights that I have as a human, you're going to allow me to exercise those rights when it comes to my data.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, after a period of time, if I've moved on and we've ended our work together, that I have the facility to ask you to remove our information. Or if I feel that there's perhaps an inaccuracy in the information, that I have the right to ask you to update that information and correct it.
Yeah.
And what we do in Policy Diary is we obviously take care of the cookie side of things by scanning your website and listing out what they are, as well as the cookie banner. But when it comes to GDPR, we talk about how to exercise your rights and the rights that somebody has when dealing with a data controller and how to exercise those rights. That's really important.
Yeah.
And if I may, I know I'm going on here a bit, but the last and probably one of the other things in the DUAA that came into effect is that you must give people the ability to complain about how their data is handled.
That's the big one.
So there's two ways. You can't just say, well, you've got to go to the ICO and best wishes to you. You know, that's that doesn't cut the mustard anymore. You must actually provide people with the means to do it. Now, it can be just a specific email address, but again, you must be overt in saying, hey, this is the email for complaints.
Yeah.
You must email here, and if you're not happy with this, you then have the right to go to the ICO.
Yeah.
So Policy Diary does that by basically giving people a complaints form. They can, it's woven into their policies. And then what happens is if somebody makes a complaint, you must respond to that person within 30 days. And how we do with Policy Diary is we take in the complaint, we store it securely encrypted, but then we also tell the therapist, you've got 30 days. And if you don't reply to it after 30 days, we remind you once 15 days have passed, and that we keep an audit log. So if it ever went further and it went to the ICO with a formal complaint, you at least have a very printable and useful audit log you can use to defend your position. Now, hopefully it wouldn't come to that, but we're all about providing you with the rails to do it so that you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's another really sort of useful aspect of it, is to have that, A, the reminder, because it's easy, like you said, that the hiding under the duvet, you know, you sort of get this complaint, think, oh God, what am I going to do about this?
Yeah, of course.
And it's easy to put it to one side and not do anything about it. So to have that.
Exactly.
Reminder, yeah.
So I think when we all have the tools to deal with things, then it's a lot easier to deal with them head on.
Yeah.
But if you're not confident in the tools, or you don't know if you're doing something right, then it's totally understandable that you'll put things on the long finger.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why we built this framework. I mean, the complaints form in itself is very straightforward and very simple. The documents themselves are very straightforward and very simple. And the cookie policy, the same, or the cookie banner. But collectively, they're a set of tools that you need in your business, that you put them on the virtual shelf. And should you ever need to call upon them, you know that they're there, they're up to date. It's like your insurance policy, in the same way that if you have an issue, you call your insurer and you assume and you hope that they're going to sort you out. And they will, of course, you've been paying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really important because, like you say, it's, I think a lot of people get really stuck at the beginning with how do I write my GDPR? What do I need to have in it? And it just feels like there's so much gumph to work through. But in actual fact, that's part of the service that you provide, isn't it? Is that it sort of helps you to write it. So it makes it a lot easier for people.
So what we do is when somebody comes to our website, we ask them for some very basic information. Because, you know, one other part of GDPR is this thing called data minimization. You don't collect things you don't need.
Yeah.
So, for example, we're not asking, people who sign up to Polystory what their date of birth is, because we don't need it, you know. So we ask the bare minimum. So we ask them for their web address, their name, obviously, so we communicate. And then we collect other information, such as maybe the ethical body, are they NCPS, are they BACP, etc. And we ask them about who has access to their data. So does a bookkeeper see initials? Does, you know, an IT person have access to your computer where they might see your emails? And we try and cover as many bases as possible based on our understanding and experience of how therapists work. We also ask about the tools that they use, offline, online, if they work with minors, data retention periods, and then we use all of that information, the background, to build the policies. Now, the problem if you're doing it yourself, as you've said, if you sit down, you've got a blank piece of paper, it's a little bit of a cliff face in that you're looking at it saying, where do I start?
Yeah.
But actually, if you segment everything and you break it down, there's a nice kind of path through the jungle here.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do with Policy Diary.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would caution people, obviously, you know, do what you feel comfortable with. But I would caution people using, you know, AI tools without a really good understanding of what they need. Because, look, if you look at any AI tool these days, it will always say to you, AI is experimental and may produce mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure this is an area you want to be making mistakes.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, there are fines here. And if you're not addressing this, and this is my experience in ICO cases, if there is a complaint and it's found against you, there are mitigating factors. And the mitigating factor is that you have made an effort to adhere to the laws that are in place.
Yeah.
It's not a get out of jail, but it is something that can be seen as a positive thing. But if you've done nothing, or you've, you know, blatantly left out important sections of in your policies, including your cookie policy, then, you know, don't expect that mitigation to work in your favor. So,
yeah. So
I've just cautioned, by all means, experiment, see what these things can produce, but just be careful is my only kind of a piece of advice there. You don't want to have a false sense of security, so to speak, as a result of that.
I mean, I think the sort of, you know, really for me, it's a pain, and it's really a pain having to do it.
Josephine.
I was going to say something stronger than that. But I think the second point that you made, that actually it's about, it builds trust up, because people do know about things like cookie policies. You know, it's on all the websites, isn't it? Do you accept or decline the cookie policies? And so there's that sort of trust factor, I think, for people when they are working with a therapist. Have they got a GDPR policy? And if it's all there, and it's you might not read it, but you think, well, it's all there, and it means that they know what they're doing. I mean,
yes,
perhaps we don't know what we're doing, but at least it looks like we are.
Well, I'd be pretty confident that you do. But, you know, you're right. These days, people are familiar with this. Also, and this is anecdotal, and it's my opinion, but I think there is some value in it, given our experience in the front line with websites and whatnot. When it comes to therapist websites, your website is classed in the eyes of Google as something called your money or your life, which effectively means its stakes are high here.
Yeah.
You can't send somebody to a charlatan.
You
want somebody who's qualified, who has an ethical framework or a code of ethics, and is, I suppose, a reliable partner in your well-being. And when Google reads websites, it looks for things like your qualifications. Because remember, Google's job is bringing people to useful websites which satisfy the needs of the searcher.
Yeah.
Google doesn't want to bring searchers to rubbish websites. If you're searching for a sun holiday in Spain and it lands you on a winter holiday in Turkey, well, you're going to be a bit disappointed about it.
Yeah.
As similarly, okay, that's an extreme case, but similarly, if you're looking for a therapist that, you know, can do couples counseling, and you get to a website where someone doesn't offer that, then that search is no good, and you're not going to use Google, and that's bad for Google. So Google wants to connect people with useful websites, trustworthy websites, especially when the stakes are high, as they are when it goes to a therapist website. So as Google reads through your website, the presence of policies indicating how you handle incredibly important information is going to be ranked by Google, in my view, in that they're going to take that into account and say, wait a minute, Josephine here on one side has stated all of her policies And she's being very clear about what information she collects and why she collects it and how she uses it and so forth, as well as your rights and your complaints form in line with the law. Whereas Dara's website over here has nothing. Now, if you were a third party and you were making a recommendation to somebody, whom would you feel more confident recommending? The person who has all the boxes ticked or the person who appears not to have? Let that settle for a minute and think about it and think that, I think I know who I'd be referring to. And so my view is Google won't be that much different. So not trying to alarm anybody or anything like that, but I think the presence of these policies, I believe, form some element of a ranking factor.
That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
It's nobody will ever put their hand up and say, oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. But when you consider what search engines look for in a website and what we ourselves look for, because Google and these kind of algorithms are always trying to recommend, like, for example, if you have a leak in your kitchen, you're going to ask a friend for a plumber because your friend shares probably the same values of you. And then also they wouldn't go ahead and recommend someone who is rubbish.
Yeah.
Google is no different.
Yeah.
And so you need to give Google every reason to recommend you and no reason not to.
Yeah.
And if getting your policies in line is one of those things, then it's really, there's very little excuse just going and doing it, especially when with services like Polystyre, and sorry, I'm being a little bit, you know, salesy, it makes it incredibly easy. Or going to another service provider or going to your ethical body and spending an afternoon on it. I don't think you need to spend an afternoon on it, but if that's what you want to do, go for it. Fact is, you should have them there for many different reasons, and now Google is one of them as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, I mean, there's at least three reasons. I mean, one, it's the law. Two, it helps Google ranking. And three, it might help your clients to feel more trustworthy of you. So all sort of good reasons to actually do it. And I think when we spoke before the interview as well, you actually think that there's like a really big gap and a lot of people aren't actually including this sort of stuff on their websites, I think. Would that be true?
Yes. You know, through our research, I mean, we thought about Policy Diary, I suppose, in the last quarter of last year. So it was around autumn last year, we decided that this was definitely a gap. And we're always trying to add value to our own clients and just to the community at large. And we thought, well, this is a question we get regularly. Why are we referring people over to kind of generic service providers? Because one of the biggest things that we see, frustration points, is that our clients will come to us after working with somebody who doesn't understand the business of therapy, how our clients think, what they know, what they don't know. And it can be quite a frustrating process when you're not incredibly tech savvy and that's not your forte and somebody doesn't understand that. Like, we know where our clients sit. So we did do a lot of market research and we found that a very large percentage of the websites that were out there, and I'm talking less than 10%, overtly stated their data protection safeguards.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, in my view.
Yeah.
And, you know,
illegal.
And, yes, illegal as well. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, one of the other FAQs we had from people was, well, what happens if I don't do this? Yeah. Well, the answer is, technically speaking, you're breaking the law.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about hanging it? Now, I'm not saying, you know, that you have to publish these things on your website. If you don't have your policies anywhere, then technically you're breaking the law.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that name tag? I'm not so sure. You're probably too comfortable about it, especially when you put so much other effort into your qualifications, into your CPD, your supervision.
People really try hard to be ethical. So,
absolutely. Fundamentally, it's the law. And, you know, whereas maybe it's low risk, but it's the law. And you must adhere to the law. So, and especially in such an important area of, you know, as we're talking, where you do handle quite a lot of personal data for people, the stakes are high.
Yeah. And it's sensitive personal data as well. You know, it's
important. Absolutely.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't get any more important than that.
Yeah. I was going to say, and at this point, anyone who's listening, who's wondering about Policy Diary as well, it's not a huge cost. I just want to say that. It's £24, is that right?
Yeah, so look, we've decided and we've tried to make this as affordable for people, because as much as there's an information overload, an information and understanding gap with this, that's enough. We didn't want there to be a financial, I suppose, barrier to people getting compliant. Because as I said from the outset, we enjoy being in the business of helping our clients help others. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're a business, absolutely. But we, you know, we've tried to make this as economical as possible. It's £24 a year.
Yeah.
And it's an annual fee. And the simple reason for that is that laws change.
Yeah.
And we keep everything up to date.
Which is just fantastic because you don't have to think about it.
It's the peace of mind.
Yeah.
It's the peace of mind. So we basically, we'll scan your website every month. And if we spot that you've put in a new YouTube video,
yeah,
we'll update your policies to let your clients know that now there's YouTube and, you know, there's cookies as a result of that potentially going their way. Yeah. And here's how to block them and so forth. So there is the peace of mind point, and yeah, I think the low price point is kind of where we're at there. And I'm sure people have maybe costed this with a solicitor or somebody else. And frankly, add a zero there without any bit of bother. You know?
Oh, absolutely. So. Absolutely. I mean, because when it sort of came in, I mean, my cookie compliance wasn't up to date. And I said to my husband, oh, I really need to sort my cookies out. I've got no idea. How do I find out what the cookies are on my website? And he said, he's a computer programmer, he said there'll be an app for that. And sure enough, there was an app for that. I've got quite a few websites, so you know, we had to pay, I think it was 150 for our websites, just for, I think it covered 5 websites for the annual price. So you know, £24 is,
there you go. I mean, that's what our scanner does. When you put in your website, our scanner will basically connect to your website as if it's a human.
Yeah.
And it will see what cookies programmatically are being set, and it'll decipher what they are, it'll understand what they are, and then it'll write the relevant clauses for you.
Yeah.
So the whole idea then is you don't have this boilerplate policy, it's specific to you and how you work.
Yeah.
And that's where things like ChatGPT and that don't really work too well, because they won't always give you an accurate picture of the technologies that you're using on your website.
Yeah.
But any of these DIY site builders, a lot of these platforms will set cookies on your website without you knowing it.
Yeah.
And so you actually need to be aware of that. And how are you going to be aware of it? Unless you use a tool like you've described, or Policy Diary, or you're technical enough to know how cookies are set.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to show people how that, to do that, but I think it would be a waste of their time, frankly.
Yeah. But what therapists want to do is therapy. You know, that's the most important
absolutely
thing. We don't want to spend our time, you know, looking
at cookies. No. I mean, that's where your skill set is. So, you know, play to your strengths and give somebody else the heavy lifting. So, the fee is £24 per annum. And if you want us to install the piece of code on your website, because again, it's not incredibly technical, but it's a technical enough endeavor, we charge a one-time fee of $9.99. And I think you might have maybe something to say about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, great lead in there. You can tell we prepared this in advance, folks. Yeah, so Dara's kindly provided me with a code, which is GEC999. And if you just click on that code, I'm going to put it in the show notes, that will give you the install fee for free. So it'll take the $9.99 off. And also, if you want to actually use WebHealer to build your website, you'll also get some money off your build as well if you use that code. So I'll pop that in the show notes to help people. But Dara, I was sort of wondering, you know, there's going to be people who are out, you know, like walking their dog. I've got one lady who wrote to me, hello Fee, who said she goes on her, I can't think what it's called, she listens to the podcast while she's on her sort of wobble board. Yeah, so hello Fee, who's on the wobble board, who won't be able to write anything down at the moment. What's the most important thing for someone to remember, do you think, about or what we've been talking about? What would you like them to remember?
Well, I would say first and foremost is not to panic. This type of regulation can be a little bit overwhelming,
mm-hmm,
but don't panic. There are solutions out there. Think about the information you collect, and you know, I don't want to say that Policy Diary is the only show in town. There are other services like Josephine you have used. The difference is, I suppose, we're very therapist focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so the questions we ask you are specific to how you work. So there's a bit of familiarity there. But don't feel too overwhelmed about the whole process. Just know that it has to be something that you do, that's on your to-do list, and something that technically is overdue now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, data protection law has been out. UK GDPR has been out for a number of years. This is just another, I suppose, level that you need to adhere to. It's changing of the laws. If you had something in place previous to now, the laws have changed a little bit, and I would invite you just to review what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want you can email us at policydiary, hello@policydiary.co.uk. Put it for my attention, mention the podcast and say, listen, I have some documents created already. Here's a link, etc., etc. What do you think? And for a limited time, because I don't want to get into the world of GDPR consultancy, but I will certainly review them and tell you the headline things that you may or may not be missing.
Yeah.
So look, if somebody wants me to look at something, by all means, put it for my attention, mention the podcast, and I'd be happy to do so. That's on a limited time basis only. It's now July of 2026. So if you're listening to this in the future, I'm afraid that ship has sailed. So
thank you so much. That's a really, really generous offer. I hope that's helped to make the changes to GDPR feel a little less daunting. And you'll find the links to Policy Diary along with Dara's discount code in the show notes. As we were wrapping up the recording, I asked Dara one more question about something many therapists have been worrying about recently. Are inquiries slowing down? And is it because AI is changing the way clients find us online? His answer was so interesting that I've decided to make it into a separate episode. So do look out for that next week. And thank you for listening. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.